Hello and welcome to this exclusive part of our podcast. John just admitted that he's not actually a member.
I'm not a member.
Themselves.
I've never heard these before. I've always been afraid you were actually talking about me.
Yeah, we have been actually.
Oh no.
But you have to pay, obviously, to hear what we said.
You guys are insidious.
Yeah. Cutthroat marketing. So getting into the exclusive question, I wanted to know you. I was interested because you talked a lot about it seems like you've read a lot of things about stage performances and kind of outside of magic and inside of it as far as audience management. You even have your kind of short film that, I mean, it's not quite the same, but you know, it's set in a theater.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm interested, kind of, what have you picked up? What tips would you give to people on just kind of what makes good stage performance, what makes, you know, things that outside of like close-up magic, you know, what makes an actual good, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just take this from the perspective of having done corporate shows mm-hmm. for years. And I think this is generally known, but maybe there are magicians getting up there doing this who don't know that. When you're doing a show, you know, you show up for, in this case, a corporate event, and they've set up the stage and lights, and they have a crew, and you know, you're the evening's entertainment after dinner, or you're the afternoon something, or you're the morning thing, you know, you're part of a much larger event. There were two kinds of magicians that we dealt with, or actually two kinds of performers, but it can be a bad for a magician if they're performing this way. There's the magician who is performing for the crew, and there's a magician who's performing for the audience. And the difference is that you don't need to perform for the crew. I'm not saying the crew doesn't care. The crew cares quite a bit. But you need to be willing to just open the kimono during rehearsal and say, here's what's happening. Here's why I'm walking up to this microphone stand that I brought myself that has a microphone on it that's not working. Even though you've put a microphone on me, I need to walk over to that because there's going to be a thread coming off of that the audience is going to see. And I'd love right now if you could show me on the screen what the video IMAG is going to look like on that, because there's some angles where it's great and there's some where it isn't. And the crew is more than happy to do that if you let them in on it. But there's kind of sometimes, like, we had one magician who didn't want to do any of that. And he walked on stage and his very first thing he did was a reveal of a wine bottle or something. And because he hadn't told anybody and he hadn't wanted to rehearse and we didn't do any of that, he walked on stage and the video director took the shot from backstage of him walking on, and you could see the bottle sticking out of the back of his coat, which would not have happened if he'd been willing to just tell us what was going on. And I know you're not supposed to tell us, but believe me, the crew doesn't care and they're not going to remember. They want to do a really, really good show. Now, the flip side of that, I remember doing a show with the impressionist Jay Johnson from the TV show Soap. And Jay is a very good ventriloquist. And we were doing a show for an audience of about 300 people in a hotel ballroom. And he was standing on stage with his puppet Bob. And we had a couple video cameras. And the video director kept, he'd broken it into two shots, a close-up of Jay and a close-up of Bob. And as they bantered back and forth, he would switch back and forth. And the majority of the audience were watching the screens because it was a big audience. And I went up to him and I said, stop that. It's a two-shot. It has to be a two-shot. And he said, I'm cutting to the guy who's talking. And I said, no, there's only one guy talking. And we're paying money for us to be amazed that we can see him next to that puppet and he's not moving his lips and the puppet is talking. Cutting back and forth is the wrong way to show this. Yeah. So, and I think Jay would have said exactly the same thing had he known they were going to be doing that. So don't assume the crew knows what's going on. You've got to tell them what's going on. And if you have a handler with you during the show who can step up to the video director and say, stop that. That's the wrong shot. That's you're not giving the audience a good show because of it. The magicians and performers who do that always have better shows.
Really good. Yeah, that's really good. Okay. I have nothing else to add. That's super interesting. I think that's a great point. I always find it, I'm probably not the best person for it because I've never been a very like, nobody can know your secret kind of guy anyway. But I think it's a good point because I always just find, I mean, you know, one of the only companies offers like refunds on like all of our products because I just kind of feel like everything's a secret in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. You read a novel.
Yeah.
Or like, you buy a DVD and you watch the movie and then you want a refund. It's like, well, you've already seen the secret, you know? Yeah. So, but you expect them to give you a refund. So I just kind of see it the same way in magic as well. But I know that there are other people that would 100% shun me for that, but I don't really care.
Well, there's the mindset of magic is the secret and there's the mindset of magic isn't about the secret.
Right.
And, but there is that human nature thing of, you know, if I get an email from David Regal and he's showing me this new trick that he's selling, there's a part of me that is, you know, taking out my credit card, wanting to buy it because David Regal is very clever and I want to see what the trick is. And you have to kick that part of your brain and go, A, I'm not a magician. B, I'm never going to perform the trick. C, you're probably going to be unhappy with the answer because it's going to, you know, no offense to David, he would be the first one to say it's simplicity. It's a stupid, the way it's done is stupid. You're just going to kick yourself when you find that out, and why pay money for that? But it's really hard even as a non-magician to not go, well, I got to find out how that's done.
That is honestly, I think one of the things I like a lot about the Mem deck is I'm not usually disappointed because it's so complex, even as a concept of like the fact that you memorized the whole deck of cards, even in the first place.
Yeah, that's amazing. Something
that I just think that's why I love doing Mem deck work. And also just, it's interesting. Like I said, I'm all for protecting people's, obviously magic should not be stolen. Like all these sites that are basically just putting downloads for like a tenth of the price, 100%, I'm not for that in any way. But I do think that it's important, like you said, when it comes to people's satisfaction, whether it be in offering a refund policy because they were disappointed or in making a good show where they're not going to see the string because you're humble enough to realize that that is necessary and it's not, you're not Harry Potter.
No, you're
not. Is also a good thing. I think that's a... it's a really good point, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And I guess unless we have anything negative to say about you, like we do in the other exclusive segments, we'll have to end this one out here.
I think it's nice you have one positive one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It won't make up for everything else, but it will be a start.
Or it can't.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it.
No problem.